Welcome to the Volatile Vet Radio Show, where finance meets fortitude, and the stock market isn't the only thing with battle scars. At Abshire Family Financial, we are vets in more ways than one, here to help you navigate the world of wealth, investments, and financial independence with the precision of a sniper and the patience of a drill sergeant on his first cup of coffee. We don't just talk strategy, we equip you with real knowledge designed to bring about success, which is why we give you real-world rubber-meets-the-road examples every week as part of our retirement mission. We want you to happily retire, and RETIRE is an acronym that stands for retirement, estate, taxes, income, risk, and enjoyment. To accomplish all those areas, you need a plan that's not just about surviving, but built to last. So whether you're dodging market downturns, wrestling with retirement plans, or just trying to make sense of why your money disappears faster than your willpower in a donut shop, stick around. We're going to cut through the noise, drop some knowledge, and maybe have a little fun along the way. So ladies and gentlemen, lock and load, because financial freedom is the mission. And here on The Volatile Vet, we always adapt and overcome. Now, you've done everything right. You've saved. You've been disciplined, educated yourself. You got a number in your head, and you're getting close to it, right? Or maybe you're already there. Maybe you're walking the path of retirement already, or well down it. But what if some of what you believe about retirement is simply wrong? When would you want to know? Now, maybe not wrong because you weren't paying attention, but wrong because the myths have been repeated so many times by so many people that they actually start to feel like facts and things that we rely upon. What if we had a foundation of myths instead of reality about retirement? Today, we're breaking 9 myths of retirement wide open. 9 myths that are quietly, and sometimes not so quietly, turning the golden years blue for people who deserve much better. By the end of this episode or this show, we think you'll start to see some things in new light and hopefully be able to take some action to improve your situation and get yourself off of that, those train tracks that lead to a more blue retirement instead of the golden one that you've been dreaming of. This is the Volatile Vet Radio Show. Jesse Abshire is the founder and principal of Abshire Family Financial, and every week we prepare these shows as if you're taking notes and hope that you take what we say. And even though the case studies and examples aren't specifically your situation, we hope that you can see the principles in them that do apply to you and learn how to take the steps necessary to improve your outlook. Naturally, we always throw our hat in the ring with an educational incentive to help with what we can do, to show you what the firm might be able to do for you and what we have done for hundreds and hundreds of clients who are near or in retirement. And even if you're still pretty far away, that's okay too. What we'd like to do for you today is, if you're one of the first 9, to call in and set up a free visit with us at the firm. It is complimentary. We will do your full compass report for you. The before and the after, the current path, and the more revised holistic path. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com, 775-899-2243. That's to call in, set up your complimentary visit to get your compass report started and done. Okay, myth number 1 of 9. If I hit my savings number, I'm set. The truth is, a number without a plan is just a number. Sequence of return risk can wipe out a decade of savings in the first 3 years of retirement. And yes, that does happen. So let's start with the myth that sounds like the most common sense, and that is exactly why it's the most dangerous. We chase numbers, right? We set a goal. This is the number I need, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, whatever it is. And once we cross that finish line, we think we're done. We're protected. We're free. We can absorb whatever comes at us. But here's the hard truth that we know by vast experience, your balance on the day you retire is almost irrelevant compared to what happens in the first few years after you retire. There is a phenomenon, I want you to hear me on this,
there is a phenomenon called sequence of return risk. And said differently, the order that your returns come at you is much more important than, say, whatever your long-term average is. The order in which the market goes up or down for you, especially in those first several years of retirement, what we often call the retirement red zone, matters enormously. And if you hit a down market right at the start of your retirement, while you're, you know, starting to pull income and actually live on the money that you've disciplined, saved for so many disciplined years, you can destroy your portfolio in a way that a bull market, say 3 to 5 years later, may never be able to fix or overcome. That retirement red zone, the 3 to 5 years before and after you retire, is so critical. Think about two people who retire with identical portfolios and identical average returns over 20 years, for example. One retires into a strong market. One retires into a downturn, but they will have the same average return over 20 years. Their outcomes, however, will be wildly different. One will run out of money, the one who retired into a down market, while the other one will thrive even with the same down market, say, in year 8, 9, and 10. When the returns happen to you matters so much more than people think. Like Tom Hegna will often say, who's an economist and a best-selling author, when you go into retirement, your average return means nothing. It's all about the consistency and predictability of returns. It is the case, this is just the science and math, that a portfolio with a more consistent but lower average return will often outperform a portfolio that has a higher average return, but more volatility. A number is a great starting point, but what you need is retirement income strategy. That's why we often say that predictability is more important than potential when it comes to your retirement planning. A retirement income strategy, one that protects your early years, no matter what happens, because those years are the most fragile you'll ever have financially. One more time. The 3 to 5 years before and the 3 to 5 years after you retire, that retirement red zone, are the most fragile years you will ever have. Now, what can you do certain things to stave off? What if you are retiring into a bad time? What if you don't have a choice in your retirement and you're retiring into a very volatile or downward heading market? Yes, you can do a lot to stave that off and to mitigate that sequence of return risk or a poor retirement red zone, but you have to know the strategies. You have to look at what you're doing now. And while everyone will tell you buy, hold, and pray because eventually it will be okay, in other words, through all the ups and downs, that is terrible advice when you start heading into retirement. All right, a Compass report delves into this. How to master the retirement red zone. How to conquer sequence of return risk to the greatest extent possible so that you do not run out of money or severely lessen that chance that you will. 775-899-2243. If you're one of the first nine today, we do your Compass report for you. And this is part of it. This first myth that we've gone through, if I hit my number, I'm fine. That is a myth. It is simply not true. There's so much more to it. 775-899-2243. The Compass report is complimentary. The full thing, if you're one of the first nine today. All right, myth number two, Social Security is going bankrupt, so I should take it as early as possible. The truth is that claiming at, say, 62 versus 70 can mean a 76% difference in your monthly benefit for life and for the life of your surviving spouse. That decision deserves much more than a fear-based approach. Every few years, a headline, you know, like now, drops about Social Security being insolvent. By some year, specified year, and the retirement savers panic. And I get it. It is in trouble. But that panic leads them to make one of the most consequential and costly decisions of their lives. because now they say, I need to claim it before it's all gone. So they start claiming at 62, thinking they will be better off or sometime early before their full retirement age. Now, what I'm talking about is a decision based in fear because you think it's going to be all gone or might as well just get it now. There are situations which claiming early makes sense. If you simply can't live without it, you can't get by without it, financially speaking, of course, you need to claim, no matter what the math says about waiting. But here we're talking about the idea that because Social Security is going insolvent, we need to claim it and get it while we can. That is a mistake. Because here's what's actually true. Social Security absolutely faces long-term funding challenges. But even in the worst-case scenario, without congressional action of any kind, the Social Security trustees project that the program could still pay somewhere around 75 to 80% of the scheduled benefits. Now, that's a far cry from zero. That's not bankruptcy. That is a funding program that still gives you significant money that does have a funding gap. But here's the math on claiming early. If your full retirement age benefit is, say, $2,000 a month, claiming at 62 drops out around $1,400 a month. And that, in a way, dooms your surviving spouse, assuming you predecease your spouse, at that lower benefit for his or her life forever. That $2,000 a month benefit at full retirement age getting cut to $1,400 because of claiming early means a lot. Waiting until age 70 means you would get around $2,480. Over that swing there, that's $1,080 a month of difference for the rest of your life, and including every cost of living adjustment going forward as well. And remember the statistic that we shared recently on a show just a few weeks ago, that claiming early ends up worse for 93.5% of people. 93.5% of the people who claimed early should not have. They are worse off for having done so, and those are not great odds in your favor. For a married couple, the Social Security claiming strategy alone can be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars over your retirement lifetime, especially when taking into account the benefits that go to a surviving spouse. Remember that your claiming decision not only affects you now, but a surviving spouse later. So fear is the worst advisor you're ever going to meet. Myth number three, Medicare will cover my healthcare costs in retirement. But the truth is, the average retiree spends about $300,000, the average retiree, $300,000 of out-of-pocket healthcare costs not covered by Medicare. Hardly anyone models that into their retirement. This one catches people really off guard. They've put into Medicare their whole lives, right? They assume it's comprehensive, and it kind of is. They assume it functions like the health insurance they had through their employer. That is far from true. Medicare has deductibles, copays, it has coverage gaps. It does not cover long-term care, which is one of the biggest financial threats retirees do face. And it doesn't cover most dental, it doesn't cover vision, it doesn't cover hearing aids. Certainly with not paying more to have supplemental coverage, so paying more. Fidelity estimates that the average 65-year-old couple will need over $300,000 in retirement just to cover their health care costs that Medicare doesn't pay. And that speaks a goes a long way to saying, hey, yeah, we should have a good health savings account built up, a good HSA before we go on Medicare. And that is $300,000 on top of everything else. And that number assumes that neither spouse ever needs extended long-term care, which statistically, most people will. 70%, say the studies, of people who are 65 will need some form of long-term care. In the home, in a facility, they will need some form, 70%. Will need some form of long-term care. If you're a married couple, what is the chance? Because each of you have a 70% chance if you're a married couple. So what is the chance or likelihood that long-term care will hit the marital unit? 91%. And the average cost of a private nursing home room nationally is over $100,000 a year, and Medicare does not cover it. So guys, Medicare is a starting point. It's a foundation. It is certainly not a catch-all safety net, and a retirement plan or perspective that believes Medicare to be a complete solution for this healthcare thing in retirement is a plan with a very dangerous gaping hole in it. That's why we do the Compass Report. That's why we do what we do for retirees at Abshire Family Financial, and it's something we love. We would love to do your Compass Report for you today if you're one of the first 9 to call in and set up your complimentary visit. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com, volatilevet.com, 775-899-2243. Myth number 4, moving on here. I can just go back to work if I run short of money. But the truth is, and I know that's a backup plan that a lot of people have in their heads, the truth is here that half of all retirees leave the workforce earlier than they wanted to or planned, and it's usually because of health issues or caregiving demands. In other words, it is not by choice. And I know with this backup plan that a lot of people count on, hey, if I do run short, I can go back to work. It's cool. I'll pick up some part-time work, maybe consult, keep a hand in the work world. For some people, that does work out fine. And it's cool when it does. It really feels good. But treating it as a reliable financial safety valve is a serious mistake. Here's why. The Employee Benefit Research Institute found that roughly half of retirees leave the workforce earlier than they planned or wanted to, not because they hit a big, a big investment win, because their health declined, because a spouse got sick and they had to step in as a caregiver, because their employer downsized, because their physical capacity to do the job they have known for so long just wasn't there anymore. Guys, sometimes the body doesn't negotiate with your budget. And the job market has limited patience for workers in their late 60s and 70s, even talented and experienced ones. This is the truth. A retirement plan built around going back to work as the contingency plan is built around a contingency that you cannot control. So hear me here. Plan as if the day you walk out the door is the last day you'll earn a paycheck. If part-time income shows up later, treat it as a bonus, not a lifeline. Myth number 5, I'm diversified. I've got large cap, small cap, etc., so I'm good. I'm diversified. This is one of my favorites. We deal with it so often. Wall Street has done a masterful job, like truly a masterful job, of making people feel like they're diversified when they are not. And this myth is the proof. Ask most investors how they're diversified, and they'll tell you something like, well, I've got large cap, small cap, mid cap, some international emerging markets, a sector fund or two here or there sprinkled in. So yeah, I'm pretty diversified. They feel good about it. They feel covered. They feel like they're spreading their risk over 5, 6, even 7 different asset classes. Okay, asset classes. That's what creates diversity. Remember that. Here's the reality. Those are not different asset classes, large cap, mid cap, small cap, etc. Those are different flavors of the same thing. They're different flavors of ice cream. No matter what it is, it's still ice cream. Every single one. And ice cream all melts in the heat of the sun. Large cap and small cap what? Mid cap what? Stocks or equities? International what? Equities. And when the markets take a real hit, international markets are globally correlated in ways they just weren't 40 years ago. And emerging markets are the most volatile flavor of all in the case. But in a genuine market crash like 2008, March of 2020, et cetera, 2022, they don't take turns going down. They don't buffer you against the losses. They all go down together. So where's the diversification? It's not there. It's not true diversification. Now, what about bonds? Are bonds, yes, they're genuinely a second asset class. They behave differently in the same economic environment. See that? But that means that most investors who think they have 5 to 7 different asset classes only have 2, equities or stocks and bonds. So Wall Street has great advice, right? You hear it all the time. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But they do say, put all your eggs in 2 baskets. True diversification goes beyond just stocks and bonds or ETFs and mutual funds that buy stocks and bonds. It includes assets that don't move with the market at all, that are low correlation or no correlation. Things like guaranteed income sources, real assets, strategies designed to produce returns in environments where traditional portfolios get crushed. That's what a real retirement portfolio that is truly diversified looks like, not simply more flavors of the same thing. I challenge you, pull out your statement, look at your pie chart, And I promise you, you're going to see a lot fewer asset classes and therefore less diversification than you thought was happening. This is where the Compass Report comes in and makes a huge impact for those who are still working toward retirement or already in it. We would love to do yours, show you what a comprehensive retirement outlook can do for you and the impact that our firm might be able to do for you like we have for so many others. It is complimentary, without obligation, when you're one of the first nine today. 775-899-2243, 775-899-2243, or volatilevet.com. All right, myth number six of nine, I'll spend less in retirement, so I need less income. I know the math on this one does seem airtight. It seems logical until you actually live it. And this is where our experience in retiring hundreds and hundreds of times by proxy of our clients really comes out. Here goes the logic. No more commuting costs. The kids are grown. Mortgage might be paid off or darn close to it, so we can slow down. Therefore, we only need about 70 to 80% of our pre-retirement income and we'll be fine. But retirees almost universally report that the early retirement costs are way more than they expected, not less. Now, why? Because now you have time. And guess what, guys? You know this. Time is expensive. Travel you put off for 30 years or many years doesn't stay on the shelf. It goes down now. Home improvement projects multiply. Grandkids are suddenly in your life in beautiful ways, but that does come with a price tag sometimes. And every once in a while, the health costs start climbing. Experiences become the currency of life, and research from the Employee Benefit Research Institute consistently shows that retirees in the early active years, the kind of the go-go years from roughly 62 to maybe 75 on the out time, spend at levels that are close, you know, roughly equal or greater than their pre-retirement spending. That is highly interesting because it kicks in the face the dogma that you'll only need 80% of your income come retirement. That spending actually does not drop until much later. And then, and because the go-go has slowed to slow-go, but then what starts to happen? Health concerns and costs start to creep in. Isn't that interesting that those tend to spike just when leisure spending drops? So you need to plan for full income replacement in retirement, especially in the early years. You can't just simply spend less. Sometimes that's just not an option. And running short at age 68 because you planned for, say, 75% of your income, ladies and gentlemen, that's a problem you cannot easily reverse. And the irony is that as you age, even with less travel as you get older, you actually spend even more in your elderly years than you did in your early retirement years as health care costs come in more and more. It's called the Elvis smile. It's a little bit crooked, right? It goes up at the beginning, goes down a little bit, and then way up on the other side. That is the graph of the go-go, slow-go, and no-go years of cost or expenditures in retirement. This is a big one. Do not plan on 75 to 80% of your pre-retirement income is all you'll need in retirement. That's simply not the case for the vast majority of people. Myth number seven, estate planning is for rich people. I don't have enough to worry about it. Like your legal docs, your wills, your durable powers of healthcare and financial powers of attorney, living trust and things like that. A lot of people believe if I don't have a very large estate, I simply don't need it. Estate planning has a branding problem. The word estate, you know, conjures, images of Downton Abbey, right? The massive manors. And it sounds like something for people with trust funds, summer homes, and teams of lawyers on retainer. So the average retiree hears estate planning and they do mentally check out. Well, that's not me. That's not my situation. And then something happens, a stroke, a fall, hospitalization. And suddenly there's no power of attorney. There's no healthcare directives. The spouse can't access the joint account because of how it was titled. The house has to go through probate because the beneficiary designations were never updated after a divorce 15 years ago. All of that is estate planning. It's not just about the size of your estate. It's about protecting the people you love from unnecessary legal and financial chaos at the worst possible moment, at some of the worst moments of their lives in your life. So hear me on this. A will, durable power of attorney, healthcare directives, updating beneficiary designations on every account. Guys, those don't require luxury estates in the country. They're basic. It's, well, in my opinion, it's basic human decency toward the people who you love, who you're counting on to handle things when you can't. And here's the part that most people do miss. The cost of not having those documents in place almost always far exceeds the cost of putting them in place. Probate fees, legal battles, court-appointed guardianship. Oh, my goodness. These are expensive, slow, soul-crushing experiences and completely avoidable with a little planning. Maybe a living trust is suitable. You know, your attorney can help you with all that. But I just want to make the point that everything is retirement planning. Even this estate planning thing I'm talking to you about right now, it is still retirement planning. And estate planning is for anyone who has people they care about. And guess what? That means it's for you. We're going to save myths number 8 and 9 for when we come back from the break, as well as a case study. I just want to emphasize here a little bit. We've gone through 7 myths so far in review. They are, if I hit my savings number, I'm all set. Social Security is going bankrupt, so I should take it as early as possible. That's 1 and 2. Number 3 was Medicare will cover my health care costs in retirement. Number 4 was I can just go back to work if I run short of money. Number 5 was I'm diversified because I have large cap, mid cap, small cap, international, emerging markets, yada, yada, yada. So I guess I'm diversified. Myth number 6 is if I'll spend less in retirement, so therefore I need less income in retirement. And myth number 7 is simply that we believe estate planning is only for those that have large estates or rich people, and that is simply false. You need a holistic plan that touches all of those things that we're going through and more. That is why the Compass Report was designed. Its mission is to give the holistic answers and blueprint that are needed for the greatest success possible in retirement, so that you can have the greatest fulfillment in your retirement. 775-899-2243. It is complimentary if you're one of the first 9 today. 775-899-2243. Or head over to volatilevet.com and set up your own visit right there. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome to Act 2 here on The Volatile Vet. Thank you for being with us, hanging out with us. We're going over 9 myths in retirement that turn the golden years a little bit blue. We've gone through the first 7, and we've got a couple more to go. Then we're getting into a case study. As we do all that, and before we head back into myth number 8, I want to remind you, if you are one of the first 9 today, we do your Compass Report for you, completely complimentary. The full thing, nothing watered down. Each Compass Report is tailored and customized. No 2 are the same. So there's nothing cookie cutter about it. The phone number to set up your complimentary visit to get this started is 775-899-2243. 775-899-2243. Or just head over to volatilevet.com. You can read more about the Compass Report, about Jesse and the entire team at Abshire Family Financial, and a bit more about the process. volatilevet.com or 775-899-2243. Okay, here we go. Myth number 8. Tax-deferred accounts save me money on taxes. Well, if you can't tell by the tone of my voice, this is one of my more frustrating ones that we deal with. This myth is baked into the way we talk about retirement savings, tax advantage, tax deferred growth, pre-tax contributions, All of that kind of language implies that you're setting yourself up, that your taxes are being reduced. They're not. They're being delayed or procrastinated. So check it out. When you contribute to a traditional 401k or IRA, you lower your taxable income today, so you pay less in taxes today. People think of that as a deduction, but it's not. It's delaying taxes owed. So every dollar sitting in that account, your contributions and every dollar of growth, is fully taxable when you pull it out, and you're required to pull it out. The IRS has those RMDs, required minimum distributions, starting for most people at age 73 now, precisely because they get sick and tired of being patient after so long. Now, the conventional wisdom says, but you'll be in a lower tax bracket when you retire. For many people, for some people, historically, that was true, a lower tax bracket, but that doesn't mean lower taxes necessarily. You can be in a lower bracket, but have fewer deductions and somehow magically be paying more in actual taxes out the door, despite being in a lower marginal bracket. Because when we do get close to retirement or in retirement, we lose major deductions, like the child credit, the child deduction, the mortgage interest deduction, assuming we've been itemizing through our career and that our mortgage is now paid off or just about so, we lose that. And we're not putting money away pre-tax anymore, are we? Into these kind of plans, we're taking money out. So the biggest three deductions and or credits that we have, usually when working, evaporate on us when we get close to retirement or in retirement. That is why you can be in a lower tax bracket in retirement, but with fewer deductions, actually pay more out the door. The idea that future taxes will somehow be lower is not a retirement strategy. It is not based in math. It is a guess. One that has not borne out for most retirees. Certainly not those that have been disciplined and accumulated a decent or respectable, you know, ball of wealth. This is just the math that no one wants to show you. It's the other side of that pre-tax equation. You just don't get to see what that math is until you're in it. I just want you to hear me on this. Tax deferral isn't tax savings. It is deferral. And when you have fewer deductions in retirement, paired with the fact that taxes are at their lowest point in history and have nowhere to go, but ladies and gentlemen, it is unethical to model in lower taxes in retirement based on our fiscal and demographic pressures as a nation. $39 trillion in debt. Baby boomers turning 80 years old and moving toward graduation from Earth. There is not a population boon or a tax base replacement anywhere near their size. And our debt, our national debt, goes up by roughly $5 billion every day. 3.4 million every 60 seconds. I know the tax cuts from, you know, the Trump cuts were made so-called permanent. We talk about this. We hit on it. I'm going to reiterate it. Things are permanent until they're not. So many tax changes were permanent that have gone the way of the dodo bird. Hear me on this. We are in the tax sale of a lifetime. And that's going to lead into myth number 9 in a minute. But I want you to understand, it is unethical for advisors to model in, or for you to assume as your own family's fiduciary, to assume lower taxes, actual taxes in the future. Whether or not you're in a lower tax bracket may or may not actually matter. As taxes go up over time, as a trend, not down, and as we lose deductions when we get into retirement, and as we have collateral damage that qualified accounts, pre-tax accounts cause on Social Security and Medicare premiums, the overall tax bill has nowhere to go, but at least stay level, if not go up. So myth number 8 here is that you'll somehow magically be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. That is simply not reality. Tax deferral is not tax savings. It is a layaway plan with the IRS, and the IRS always gets paid. Now, There are many things you can do to work with them, to legally divorce the IRS and make them happy, and make you have a tax-free bill of health from here forward. That's going to be in a tax scorecard example coming up. We'll do that tax scorecard example right after myth number 9, because it plays very well with that as well. I want to remind you, if you're one of the first 9 today, we do your Compass report for you, complimentary. These things that we're talking about are taken into account. What's your total retirement tax bill looking like? What can you do about it? How can you minimize the collateral damage that parts of your plan might be unknowingly causing in other parts of your retirement outlook? 775-899-2243. Get your Compass report done. Let's make an impact for good for you. VolatileVet.com is another way to get us, or 775-899-2243. And finally, myth number 9. A Roth conversion sets me back. I have to make up what I paid in taxes when converting before I break even. This is the objection we hear most often when it comes to Roth conversions. When we have that planning conversation, and it's, but I'm writing a check to the IRS right now because I'm converting it. Therefore, I'm starting behind. Like, I go backwards. I have to earn that back before I'm even, because it feels like you're losing ground. I get it. It sounds logical. It feels like a loss, but it's based on a misunderstanding of what is actually happening. Done correctly, a Roth conversion is a neutral move to your account balance and net worth. You're not losing ground. You're just paying a bill that you already owe. You have to realize, I owe those taxes now or later. It's not going backwards. The reality is, when you have money sitting in a traditional IRA or 401k, not all of that money is yours. A portion of it, whatever your tax rate is or will be, already belongs to the IRS. It is already theirs. You just haven't sent it in yet. Now, maybe it makes sense to delay, but what would you think the math would show based on myth number 8? When you have a bill due, procrastinating it, what usually happens, especially when you have a stiff creditor, usually gets worse. Here's a real simple example. Let's say you have $100,000 in a traditional IRA or pre-tax 401k. Your tax rate is 22%. The honest number is not $100,000 that's yours. It's actually $78,000. That's what you actually own. The other $22,000 is a liability on your balance sheet, kind of wearing the costume of your asset. All right, it's a lot like having a home that you owe a mortgage on. What is your net equity? It's the total value of the home minus what you owe the bank. The same thing is true with an IRA, 401k, and all their cousins that are pre-tax accounts. It's the total value of the account minus the tax mortgage due to the IRS. Now or later, it is still a lien on your account. When you do a Roth conversion and pay the, say, $22,000 in taxes that you already owe, in this example, your net worth doesn't go down. Your account balance doesn't go down. You've simply converted a $100,000 pre-tax asset that has a $22,000 tax liability into a $78,000 after-tax asset with zero liability. From a net worth standpoint, you're the same before and after. But here's where it gets really interesting. From that time forward, every dollar of growth in the Roth account is yours completely, permanently, tax-free, no tax drag, no minimum required minimum distributions, no guessing or even big concern about what taxes will do in the future. You don't care. You exited that tax rat race after you've converted. And finally, something that gets nowhere near enough attention except on this show, distributions from Roth IRAs do not trigger taxes on your Social Security. They do not trigger IRMA surcharges on your Medicare premiums. They do not trigger long-term capital gains on brokerage accounts that normally or otherwise wouldn't occur. But each of those pieces of collateral damage do occur, are triggered by 401ks and IRAs or other pre-tax accounts. You do not go backwards with a Roth conversion when done right. You just paid a bill that was already on the table and being procrastinated. What happens next and after that is where Roth conversions really start to win. Now, is it right for you? I don't know. I have no idea. That's where a Compass report comes in. That's why we're doing them complimentary for the first 9 today to set up a visit with us at Abshire Family Financial. The phone number is 775-899-2243 or visit us at volatilevet.com. See our own schedule, read more about the team, set up your visit right there. volatilevet.com or 775-899-2243. Those are the 9 retirement myths that can certainly turn the golden years blue. Sometimes when people first come in to visit with us, whether they've attended one of our workshops in the community or they've listened to the show for a while, we often hear things like, I really thought I did everything right. I was disciplined. I put in a bunch of money pre-tax like I was told. And I'm having these pitfalls affect me that I don't feel like should be happening. What's going on? And almost invariably, one of these 9 myths is rearing its ugly head. And that's why we've put this list together the way we have. Especially, you know, if I were just to go back to number 1, if I hit my savings number, I'm set. And people discover that, well, I was backing into that number based on the 4% rule. And that's an extremely flawed approach. We go through that often here on the show. So that was myth number 1. If I hit my savings number, I'm all set. And these are things that, you know, just frankly, people who aren't experienced retirement planners and advisors miss all the time. Because there is a big difference between someone who is a retirement planner, especially a tax-free retirement planning firm, and someone who, and we don't mean too offensively, but is simply a pie chart guy. Someone who is an investment manager. They just do some of this, some of that, and they make a pie chart. And it might be great as an investment manager, but that is one slice among many that you need to address for your comprehensive, entire, holistic retirement plan. That is the goal of the Compass Report. We use that as our opportunity to show you and impress you, hopefully, as to what we might be able to do together with you if you are our client. That's why it's complimentary. And again, that phone number, if you'd like to get your Compass Report done, is 775-899-2243. All right, so briefly in review, number 1, myth, if I hit my retirement savings number, I'm all set. Number 2, Social Security is going bankrupt, so I might as well just take it early. That is a huge misstep. Myth number 3, Medicare will cover my health care costs in retirement when on average, retirees pay about $300,000 above and beyond what Medicare covers in an average retirement. Myth number 4, I can just go back to work if I run short of money. Maybe, maybe not. About half the people that would like to do that are not able to for circumstances beyond their control. Myth number 5, I'm diversified because I have large cap, mid cap, small cap, international, emerging markets, et cetera, and the way that it is presented to you, it is common to feel that that's 5 or 6 different asset classes. In fact, it is one asset class, equities. You do not have 5, 7, 8 different asset classes. They are simply different flavors of the same asset class. And they all tend to move in tandem. They respond the same to economic environments. That is not the definition of a different asset class. It is, in fact, the definition of the same asset class. So people are a lot less diversified than they often think. Myth number 6, I'll spend less in retirement, so I need less income. You will likely not spend less, especially in the first 5 to 8 years. Number seven, estate planning is for rich people. I don't have enough to worry about it. The truth is estate planning covers even the most basic decisions, like who are my beneficiaries, who will take care of my healthcare needs, my healthcare directives, my financial directives. All of those things are estate planning. Myth number eight, tax-deferred accounts save me money on taxes. I don't think we need to go through that one anymore today and as to what a fallacy that is for most retirees. Myth number nine, Roth conversion set me backwards and that you have to go and make up what you paid in taxes in order to break even. That's a myth. It's a misunderstanding about how a Roth conversion actually works. Those are the nine myths that can turn your golden years a little bit blue. Now, I did promise that we'd get into a tax scorecard example. Let's go to that right now. And this, you know what, we'll do this as well. If you're calling in to set up your visit to get your personalized Compass report done, we'll also do your tax scorecard as part of that. Okay, so let's say this. Let's say that you are 62 years old. You have $850,000 in pre-tax accounts, whether that's a 401k or IRA or 403b, TSP, 457, any of the siblings there, the pre-tax gang. So you're 62, $850,000 in pre-tax balance. We'll assume a 7% rate of return, you know, nothing crazy. Your effective rate, let's say your effective rate was about 17% between federal and state. We see that quite often. And you don't, let's, for the sake of the story here, let's assume that you don't need the RMDs, but you're going to be forced to take them at age 73. And when those come to you, your plan is to reinvest those RMDs elsewhere. At 67, your Social Security will be $42,500. We'll assume a 1.5% COLA, so cost of living adjustment, married, and Medicare. We'll start taking Medicare at 65. So we're going to look at the IRMA surcharge effect as well, that the qualified accounts here, these pre-tax balances of $850,000 might cause. And then we'll also presume, let's do a five-year conversion strategy and compare leaving it as it is and the total tax bill over your retirement versus taking the money and converting it strategically over the next 5 years. Here's what we find. First of all, the taxes on the RMDs alone would be about $561,000. Well over $500,000 in taxes on the RMDs alone. Now, if we don't need the RMDs, what many people do is reinvest them in laddered CDs, money market accounts, a brokerage account, something that creates hopefully some gain in interest, but also creates more taxes. If we were to reinvest the RMDs, that would create another $467,000 of taxes throughout your retirement. Now, when your heirs inherit an IRA, for example, do they have to pay income taxes on that? Yes, they do. This is where the Secure Act 2.0 can come into play. And whether or not they take it over, say, 10 years, or over even just a few years, they will owe taxes. That will be about another $340,000 in taxes. Man, is that painful. And at this point, we have RMD taxes, taxes on the reinvested RMDs, inheritance taxes. I start to scratch my head and wonder how many bites at the apple does the IRS even get here on this single IRA or 401k that we're looking at? And the answer is at least two more, because now we get into what we call collateral damage on Social Security and IRMA. Social Security taxes are a fact when you use the wrong kind of retirement income. What triggers unnecessary tax on Social Security are things like qualified accounts, pensions, real estate income, interest, dividends, capital gains, things like that. But by far, ladies and gentlemen, and half of the Social Security income itself is counted in this calculus as well. But by far, the largest culprit are distributions from pre-tax accounts like 401ks and IRAs. What you're hearing is that they are the main culprits of why your Social Security could, and likely does, become unnecessarily taxable. Here in this case, if this were your situation, you would have about $182,000 of additional taxes on your Social Security, predominantly because of that qualified account and the RMDs from them. In other words, your Social Security benefits are lessened by about $182,000. What about IRMA? Now, IRMA is this nasty thing. We talk about it often. It's a surcharge on your Medicare premiums. If you go above certain income thresholds, you have to pay more for your Medicare insurance. So not only does Medicare premium, Part B and Part D, go up just about every year. Last year was 9.7% increase, by the way, in just the base premium. But when you make above certain thresholds, you now must pay extra Medicare premiums, or a surcharge, which is simply a fancy way of saying tax. In this case, if this were your situation, it would be an additional $328,000 of Medicare premiums, called IRMA surcharges, above and beyond the Part B and D premiums. And where do your Medicare premiums, including the surcharge taxes, come out of for most people? Straight from your Social Security check. So, if you're following me here, what you're getting to is that you have $182,000 less in Social Security benefits because of unnecessary taxation and $328,000 less from your Social Security check because of IRMA surcharges that are deducted from your Social Security benefits before they even hit your bank account. All of this because of an $850,000 pre-tax balance, letting it play out, taking the RMDs and reinvesting them. Altogether, this retirement tax bill, this tax scorecard, is $1.88 million from an $850,000 current IRA, growing at 7%, etc., all that stuff. Yes, that's happening. But that is a gnarly tax bill. And ladies and gentlemen, this is part of the tax scorecard. Most people, most advisors, most CPAs, simply don't want to show you the other side. What's on the other side of that equal sign of the pre-tax equation? We want you to get your tax scorecard so you can see it, quantify it, look at the x-ray, because then you can start to do something about it. And I'm not going to even assume that taxes go up, even modestly. We're just going to assume they stay the same forever. And that is the tax bill, about $1.88 million between RMD taxes, taxes on reinvested RMDs, inheritance taxes, Social Security taxes, collateral damage, IRMA surcharges, more collateral damage. What can we do? Let's compare it favorably to a five-year conversion strategy. So let's say that we undertake a tactical strategy that over the next 5 years, we will convert this balance, including its growth. Follow me? Okay, here we go. Do Roth IRAs, so convert to a Roth, do Roth IRAs have RMDs? No, they don't. They do not have required minimum distributions. And even if they did, it would come out tax-free. And therefore, that goes to zero. If there are no RMDs to reinvest in a tax-hostile environment like brokerage accounts, etc., well, then there's no reinvestment taxes, are there? So that goes to zero. When heirs inherit a Roth, do they have to pay taxes on it? No, that goes to zero. Social Security taxes were $182,000. Now they drop to $20. It's kind of funny. We were not able to get rid of all of them, but we dropped it from $182,000 down to $20 over your entire retirement experience. Hopefully you're not mad. IRMA surcharges were $328,000. We dropped them to zero through the conversion strategy. Now, we do have conversion taxes, don't we? Yes, we do, over the next 5 years. That's $213,000 roughly. Altogether, the total taxation is $213,600 instead of $1.8 million over your retirement. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a reduction of 89% in retirement taxes. I want to ask you, when is the last time an advisor or anyone showed you how to potentially reduce your taxes by 89%. You know what that is in dollars? $1.66 million less in tax, saved taxes. What if we're only half that? What if we're only $800,000 or $850,000 in tax savings in the tax scorecard analysis here? Still worthwhile? Without question. We want you to get your tax scorecard done complimentary, part of your Compass report. It is complimentary if you're one of the first nine today. 775-899-2243. 775-899-2243. Or volatilevet.com. I hope you enjoyed the show today. This was a real fun one for us, and we look forward to visiting with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you soon.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed representative.